Welcome back to the Short Code Podcast, specifically a set of episodes we're calling The Secret Lives of CCOM Professors. I'm here with Melissa Palma. Melissa, who did you bring to us this time?
So today I interviewed one of my closest mentors here at the Carver College of Medicine, Dr. Denise Martinez. She is a faculty member, a professor of family medicine, and also Associate Dean of Diversity and Cultural Affairs here at the College of Medicine.
How did she come to be your mentor?
So
one of your mentors.
Yeah. Right? So Dr. Martinez has been very involved in her role as Associate Dean of Diversity. She gives a lot of lunch talks to students through SNMA, the Student National Medical Association, and LMSA, the Latino Medical Student Association. And she is also a mentor for the MAPS program, the Minority Association of Pre-Medical Students. And so throughout all of these, her roles mentoring all these different cultural groups here on campus promoting diversity within medicine, she invites pre-meds, med students, all of us over to her house and feeds us lovely food, and we all get to talk and share our experiences and just, you know, to know that, you know, one day we could be a Dr. Martinez.
Nice. All right, well, let's listen in.
So, Dr. Martinez, please introduce yourself. What is your secret talent?
Thank you so much for having me, Melissa. I'm not sure if it's exactly a talent, but my secret life, I would suppose, I don't know if it's so secret, it has to do with my husband and I, and we have massive food adventures. And most of our adventures take place through using the website Yelp. And so we have now amassed, I think, over 800 reviews in the Midwest of restaurants and go travel on a very regular basis eating.
That sounds like the most wonderful life outside of the rest of our lives that anyone could ever possibly have. Many of my friends know this, and I'm sure you know this as well. Whenever I go somewhere, the first thing I say when I get back is, and I ate everything in sight. Eating is one of the great pleasures in life for many people. And so how did you get started? When did this 800 Yelp review superstar status start for you and your husband?
Well, so my husband and I met about 3 years ago, and we quickly bonded over the fact that our number one interest in life, or one of our number one interests in life, we have lots of interests, but is really food. We love to eat. And we first, you know, as we were dating, really enjoyed going different places. We also both really love to travel. And so being able to combine those two things has been very fun for us. So on the weekends I'm not working, we often will travel around the Midwest eating. On the evenings that, you know, I have free or I'm more able to travel, we travel to different places in Iowa. And because of this, I know Mark, my husband, we have a fair amount of notoriety. there are very few places in Iowa that we have not reviewed that are sort of considered, you know, really excellent spots. And for a lot of people will recognize my husband especially and say, because of him, we know where the good food places are, especially here in Iowa, which we appreciate sharing our knowledge.
And where have you been in Iowa? I'm sure you've been everywhere, but are there any memorable moments or places that you'd like to share with us today?
Yeah, I think there are some great places that people just aren't maybe as aware of. I think some really cool finds that, you know, allow people to go to some of these small towns. I think Iowa has, you know, many, many, many small towns, obviously, but oftentimes these small towns will have like one really excellent restaurant, and that people will travel from different areas just to go to this particular restaurant. And so some cool ones that we've been to that I think are a little less well known, the Ladora Bank Bistro is really good. It's in Ladora, Iowa, which I think has 700 people, and it's this really great restaurant in this old bank, and it's less than an hour from Iowa City. There's lots of different places that we've been to that are really holes in the walls. I'm trying to think of other names, but yeah, no, there's lots of good eating in Iowa and in the Midwest in general.
So, you know, you said that you bonded over food and your love of travel when you and your husband first started out on this great Yelping adventure 3 years ago. What drew you to this kind of, I guess, eating as a hobby? I mean, was it Are there other people in your family who travel long distances to go get a good meal? Or is it something that you've kind of come upon yourself?
Eating is a passion of my family's. We like to eat as a family. We celebrate by eating. We mourn by eating. We welcome each other by eating. And so it's just a part of our culture and our family. And so going and trying to find what is best wherever is something that I kind of grew up doing. Mark kind of has had sort of a similar background as well, so it made it really easy for us to want to do this. I have to say that we've had to learn how to exercise a lot more because we do eat a lot, and I won't lie, since I've dated Mark, I've gained quite a few more pounds than I wish I had, but we're working on that. But it's a fun passion, and, you know, food is great. You get to bond with people. We meet new people. We get to share also through Yelp, which is, you know, the website that we often, you know, put our reviews on. Through that, we've been able to share our knowledge about, and other places or other people are able to see these places that maybe aren't as well traveled. So, yes.
So you say that sometimes after reviewing 800 different restaurants on Yelp, Mark can sometimes get recognized at them. What do these restaurant people say to him when he walks in? Do they say, do they scream out his screen name at him, or what kind of interactions do you have?
Yes, on Yelp, he's known as Mark G. And so a lot of people will recognize him and sort of thank him for coming, especially if he's given a good review to a particular restaurant. I know other things that we'll meet people randomly. And as we're talking to them, you know, at restaurants or just, you know, in life in general, they'll say, oh my gosh, I totally follow you guys because you guys know where the good places are to eat. So yeah, and actually restaurants often are very happy that people will give them reviews, and having elite status, so, you know, next to your name, Yelp puts elite if you have been a person who do a lot of reviewing, and the restaurants really appreciate that, and sometimes will you know, message you back and sort of be grateful that you come, or you know, are giving your advice. Usually if we give like a mediocre or sort of a poor review, sometimes we get free gift certificates to come back and to try it again. I don't know if that's bribery or not. So that's another potential perk. The other thing is that we get invited to openings. Wow. So there are these parties for new restaurants or, you know, events to sort of showcase or feature certain restaurants. And because of this sort of elite or being very involved with reviewing restaurants, we get invited because they want us to be involved and know our opinion. So.
Interesting. And so do you or Mark have any formal background in food other than eating everything in sight? Or is this like when you write reviews, kind of what's your process?
Yeah, no, good question. So, no, we do not have any formal food experience other than being excellent eaters and feeling like we have excellent taste. As far as process, you know, as far as doing reviews, we often, after we eat a meal, we'll sort of right then and there judge it. And, you know, and judge it for where it's at, you know, so you can't compare, you know, a 5-star restaurant in Chicago to a rural restaurant in Iowa, but both you could give the same review or same highness of a review because you sort of can judge it based on what it is by itself. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of different things that we judge. So you judge the atmosphere and you judge the food and the friendliness and the prices and all that kind of stuff. And we have a conversation and then the review goes in.
So then what kinds of things really impress you or kind of catch your eye when you are, you know, at a restaurant, depending on what kind of restaurant it is?
Oh, that's a good question. Definitely the quality of the food is the most important thing to us. Some people really value service, and though I think we're super impressed if people are nice and helpful and friendly, that's not as big of a deal to us. We really are just looking for, like, amazing food. And cost is the other thing. So sometimes things are, like, overpriced. And so if things are priced well, or even if it's an expensive restaurant, but it's worth every bite, then That's fine with us too.
And has this, you know, great food adventure that you've been on, does this translate into like home cooking as well, or influence what you try to make at home after you've tasted something at a really great restaurant?
Yeah, Yeah, I would definitely say so. I love to cook, and Mark loves to eat what I cook. He's not as much of a cook as I am. And I would say if there's certain things that we've only had certain places that we've absolutely loved, I will try to cook it if possible. Additionally, there are certain things that we absolutely love to eat and will and know that are kind of difficult to make. So, for example, Mark and I, our favorite food is pho, Vietnamese soup, or beef soup. And it's not the easiest thing to make in the world. And before, now there is an amazing pho restaurant in Corvo. So we're very excited about that.
What is it called? Give a shout out.
Yes. Oh my God. It's called, God, what is it called? Zykem or something like that. I think it's on the strip. It's next to Hy-Vee. So on 2nd Ave. So, but anyway, it's the best pho. I really like it. But we used to drive to the Quad Cities, to Cedar Rapids to get pho all the time. We went over to Ting Ho's. Shout out to Ting Ho, medical student family. And we had a whole day of cooking where they taught us how to make Vietnamese pho. I think we were over there for like 12 hours or something like that.
Because I know her parents used to have a restaurant in Des Moines.
Exactly. So I think not only do we like to eat, but I love to cook. And learning how to cook, especially complicated food that's not easy to make, I appreciate that.
So then what goes into making a really good pho from the Ho family?
Oh, goodness. Well, they have lots of secrets, I think. I don't know if I completely say.
You can't say.
But I think one of the big things is, you know, you got to get good bones. So basically you take bones and you boil the heck out of them for hours and hours and hours. And then actually Ting's dad didn't give us all the secrets. He gave us this special oil that he puts in his pho that makes it special. And he gave us a bottle. So now we have the bottle. We don't know how to make it, but we have the bottle and we have everything else to make like the perfect pho. So it's good.
And so, you know, you've traveled all over the country, all over the Midwest, all over the state of Iowa for all of these different restaurants. Where were you most surprised by a meal or a restaurant where you were in a location or you were in a place and you thought, I wasn't expecting that, but I was pleasantly surprised?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like that's happened quite a few times. Let's see here. So I know in there's been a couple of rural restaurants that have been surprising, or that, you know, there's been different restaurants that have had like a particular like ethnic cuisine that's been surprising. So I think you know about this too, but Atumwa has like the best Ethiopian food, restaurant.
Yeah.
And you just wouldn't expect like an Ethiopian restaurant to be like in the middle of Iowa somewhere randomly. What other kinds of things? Yeah, I think it's the rural, like more ethnic inspired places that always kind of surprise me.
Yeah. And why do you think that these places pop up in these small little towns? Do you have a theory?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, there's, you know, as Iowa continues to diversify, I think that there's a lot of ethnic minority groups that are moving to different places in Iowa, including rural Iowa. And restaurant business is, you know, can be a good business. And so these things pop up. And I think everybody in Iowa benefits from that. So now we just need an Ethiopian restaurant in Iowa City.
There was one at one point.
Yeah.
I think it closed when I was an undergrad.
It was here when I first moved here, too. Unfortunately, we don't have one anymore. But
Well, maybe one day.
Yes.
Ethiopian food back in Iowa City.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've talked about eating food from all of these different cultures and cuisines. Are there any particular types of food from your own culture or from your own family's traditions that you either really like to make yourself or you really like to order when you go out to a restaurant?
Yeah, so my background is pretty multicultural. I'm Puerto Rican, but my family is from Hawaii. So we have a pretty broad base of food that we like, including, you know, traditional Puerto Rican food as well as Hawaiian food. So one of the big things that we like to make is something called kalua pig, which is a when you take a pig and you roast it in the ground with tea leaves and that sort of thing, it makes this wonderful thing. In Iowa, it's not as easy to roast a pig in the ground, so we don't do that. But we roast a pig in the oven, and we add things to it like liquid smoke to make it seem like that you roasted it in the ground. And that's probably one of my favorite things to make, and it's always a food that people really enjoy. Other random thing, they're one of the best places to get Hawaiian food I've ever had, even better than most places in Hawaii, is in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Really?
It's called Onokine Grains. It's amazing. And so a couple of our medical students are going to be going to Medical College of Wisconsin, which is in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, for residency. And it's like the best Hawaiian food I've ever had.
Wow.
So they can get the Kalua pig in Wauwatosa.
And do they cook the Kalua pig in the frozen Wisconsin winter grounds,
I'm imagining they probably do it in the oven like I do it, but they also have something that's hard to make called lau lau, which is a, that you take banana leaves and inside you put taro leaves and then butterfish and pork, and then you make it into this beautiful package and you steam it, and it's not easy to make and it's just amazing, and they have lau lau at this place, so it's pretty good.
Just being a lovely representative for the Wisconsin-Hawaii delegation
yes.
in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin.
Exactly, exactly. Check it out if you're ever in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. It's amazing.
And then, so have you ever found that, you know, with all of your different experiences with different cuisines, different restaurants, both hole-in-the-wall places and really nice, fancy doctor restaurants, I guess, which I have not eaten at yet. I'm not quite there. Do you ever find yourself being, like, overly critical of food that when you're just eating in general? Like, have you found that you've only become a food critic now that being a food critic is your hobby?
Yeah, you know, we would probably say that, you know, because we enjoy food so much, we feel like every meal should be a really good meal. And so sometimes either when you're going out or if you're just trying to pick something up and you're like, God, that was a waste of a meal. That wasn't that very good. So I guess you can do that. But I think the other, you know, with our sort of, you know, high end fancy food experiences, as well as sort of the more mom and pop restaurant places, you know, they can be equally as good, which is, you know, a kind of a cool thing in and of itself. But yeah, Mark and I, we do not like to waste a meal, especially if we're traveling. If we went to a restaurant and it's not that great, we were like, we could have tried somewhere else.
So when you travel, do you use Yelp exclusively, or do you have other sources where you find these places to eat at?
I won't lie. I think that Yelp is probably the best app. And the reason why I like it is because I really like the idea of collective food knowledge, that regular people make decisions about what they're doing and what they're eating and give that knowledge back to the public. And so, and then they pool this knowledge and then you can really rank things and search things out. And I think it's one of the easiest interfaces. I find that like top 10 lists and stuff like that, sometimes I think they're tainted by, you know, special interests or whatnot and aren't really the real deal. I like what the people have to say. And I find that Yelp is more of like what the actual people have to say about things. So we're going to, in the next couple of weeks, we have, in the next month, we're traveling to Miami and Puerto Rico and to Los Angeles and Vegas.
Wow.
And so we have some of the food already planned out for those places.
So when you go on trips, how far out in advance do you, like, what's your criteria for, yes, we are going to this place on our trip?
Oh, that's a good question. So if we're going like afar, like to Vegas or to Puerto Rico or something like that, you know, for a couple of weeks out, I will start Yelping big time, trying to find places, because some of, especially if they're really good places, you might need reservations pretty far out to make sure that you can get in. So we've already made some reservations in Vegas and some other places, because these are very important places that we need to go to. Otherwise, you know, if we decide, hey, we're going to go to Kansas City or, you know, know, just drive somewhere on random weekends and that sort of thing. Well, as we're driving, half of what I do in the car is looking up Yelp reviews for what we're planning our meals for the weekend, basically. Mm-hmm. So my job is really the planner.
The planning. And so what sways you in a review? Is it by, does it have to be by an elite member, or is it just overall reviews?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So the way I rank reviews is first I always sort by stars. So if someplace has tons of stars and a good amount of reviews, the chances are that it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then I start reading through reviews. And oftentimes I do look at elite members first because they tend to be trusted reviews. Mm-hmm. And then I read other people's reviews as well. But star number is really what I look most at, is how many stars that they got. And then I start looking at the different reviews. So
is there any particular review that's caught your eye in the recent weeks that you can remember, or some turn of the phrase?
Some of the things that are most helpful, I find, or things that really catch my eye in reviews, is sometimes when you go to a new place, you don't always know what to expect or how to best involve yourself in the experience. Mm-hmm. So when people really break it down for me, I think it's really helpful. So for example, there's a place that we're really interested in going in Las Vegas, and it's hard to get a reservation. And so somebody in the review told how you get a reservation, what happens when you get a reservation, mm-hmm. where you show up, when you show up, and kind of gives like a breakdown and how it all works. Mm-hmm. And then that makes me feel like that more comfortable. The other thing that we had found, not only with restaurants, but we also use Yelp for just regular experiences. So for example, we went to Korean Spa in Chicago, which was amazing, but is also a very different kind of sort of cultural experience. And so it was helpful reading some of the reviews about what is the etiquette like when you're going to a place that, so that you know exactly what you're expecting to do when you get there.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting, because I feel like whenever I travel, my first thing is like, okay, so where are we going to eat? And usually it's several meals are reserved for family or at someone's family's house and the food that they cook. And so do you find yourself, when you travel places where you have like, you know, friends, you know, family and things like that, do they only take you out, or do they also do, you know, the home cook meals, knowing that you have this kind of reputation as the restaurateur aficionados of the family?
So I would say in general, when we're traveling, we do meet up with people that we know. But oftentimes, you know, I guess maybe we're not trying to impose ourselves or whatnot, but we'll say we're going to this restaurant and we will take them out. Mm-hmm. So I do love home cooking though. So if anybody's willing, you know, out there to take us in while we're traveling, we're totally down with that. And I know when I visit like my family, and my mom loves to cook and will cook just amazing food when we're home in Boston. But in general, we usually say if we're going to places that we know we have friends or even family, we'll invite them out to eat with us.
Mm-hmm. And then, so I know I think your most recent trip was to Phoenix. Is that correct?
Yeah, we were in Phoenix a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. And so how can you maybe take us on a tour of the of your experiences there?
Yes. So on our Phoenix trip, and this was mostly an eating experience. So we went there mostly because we wanted some sun and we wanted to eat. So Phoenix has amazing food, by the way. This was not something that I completely realized, but they have great food. So we stayed at the Palms, Royal Palms Resort and Spa. And so they had an amazing food. They had a brunch, and they specialize in charcuterie. And so they had all of this amazing kind of preserved meats and cheeses and stuff like that, which was great. And I saw that a lot in Phoenix, which I thought was interesting. I was like, maybe people don't want hot food all the time because it's really hot there or something like that. The other place that we went to, and I'm now blanking on the name of it. It was actually, it's in Old Scottsdale. And it is in one of the old, beautiful mission churches that they sort of renovated into this new type of Mexican restaurant. Mm-hmm. And so the style is, so it's Mexican inspired. It's not necessarily quite as traditional, but it was to die for amazing. And we needed reservations for that. So we did that definitely early. But I had some roasted pork, which was one of the best things I've ever had. And I had a blood orange margarita. Which was also amazing. So I'm blanking on the name. I think it might be called The Mission, but it's in Old Scottsdale, Arizona. It was amazing.
So based on all of your experiences, 800 Yelp reviews, family history dating back to the Puerto Rican Hawaiian delicacies and everything like that, and a lifetime of eating, a lifetime of good eating. What is the most memorable meal that you have had, or one that brings up the the most memories for you?
Oh, that is so.
I know it's really hard. I know it's really hard.
I won't lie, we've had some good food, but memorable. So I would say, probably when I was quite young. So, so one of the big things in our family, and is a big tradition for Puerto Rican Hawaiians, is to make something called pasteles. So pasteles are like tamales, but they're made with banana inside, like a more potatoy kind of banana, as well as banana leaves. And so they're wrapped in banana leaves instead of corn husks. And they are one of my favorite foods, but they're very labor intensive. And so, but they are amazing. And so one of my early memories, I probably was like 7 or 8 years old, was eating pasteles for one of the first times, because we had this big family reunion, and being like, this is one of the best things I've ever had. And then when I got a little older, the family included me and my sisters, and we would do something called pastele parties, and that for these family reunions, all of the women for like 3 days would sit around making these pasteles. Yeah. And so not only are you getting to eat good food and make good food, but you're also sitting around preparing food with family members, and especially women, and learning traditions and talking about your culture and your past and family. And so it's kind of a meaningful experience, and you know, it's something that's been done for, you know, over 100 years in the family. And so I would say that's probably, and anytime I eat it, and pasteles are hard to make, so I don't eat them very often, but every time I do, it sort of sends me right back there, and it's so good. So
it's like the moment in Ratatouille when the critic eats the bite of Ratatouille and is transported immediately back to his childhood in the countryside of France.
Yes, like exactly. That. Exactly. That's how I feel every time I'm eating a pastelli. So, yeah, exactly.
So little Denise Martinez with pigtails on the beach in Hawaii somewhere with her pastelli.
That's not a bad thing. Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on the Short Code Podcast. Do you have any other parting words of wisdom or advice about food or anything really in general?
Yes. So I would encourage any medical student who has any interest in good eating, if they have any questions about what's out there, to come and talk to me personally. Or if you're traveling or going somewhere and you have any questions, especially here in the Midwest or on the coast even, I would be more than happy to give you some advice. So just come and talk to me if you're around.
Yeah. I've actually done this before. I've been, Dr. Martinez, where can I go in the city for this restaurant? She gave me lists upon lists, and I was the happiest person ever. So thank you very much for enriching my interview season in such a wonderful way.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you like what you heard on the Short Code Podcast today, leave us a review and some stars on iTunes or Stitcher. Before we go, we'd like to invite you to tell us about your moment of truth. If something strange or wonderful happened to you, if you're annoyed or pleased about something, or if you want to suggest a story idea to us, leave us a message at theshortcoat.com. Do follow and talk to us on Twitter so we can all stay up to date on what's happening at the margins of medicine. The show is made possible by this strange world we live in, and a generous donation by Carver College of Medicine Student Government and the Writing and Humanities Program. Our executive producer is Jason Lewis. Our intern is Corey Christensen. Our opening music is by Dr. Vox, and our closing music is by C2C. Talk to you in 1 week.